Yeah. Yeah, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your grace and your mercy. And Father, you know it's been dry here. And we thank you for your promise that you said that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out your treasure, the rain, in your season. And Father, we thank you for this. Father, in Psalms 23, it says, you cause us to lie down in green pastures. Father, we thank you for this blessing. And Father, we're asking you for a supernatural miracle this year to cause this to be the best year we've ever had. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? I will. I got good news for you. Jesus is still in the healing business. Amen. He's still in the miracle working business. You know, there are people that are sitting around that they're convinced that they're not going to be healed until they get to heaven. I told a guy, he was mad at me over this. And I said, healing is part of the redemption. He said, I know that healing was paid for in the redemption, but you don't get it till you get to heaven. You know, you're not going to need any healing in heaven because there's no sickness in heaven. Any healing you're going to get, you're going to need it down here. See, that's part of salvation. Well, we understand that word salvation. Then we can understand that we are saved and the fact that we're born again. We're going to go to heaven. We are now being saved right now. And the fact that God is still healing us. He's still providing for us. He's still delivering us. He's still protecting us. And we will be saved when we see Jesus face to face and He completes our redemption. Praise God. That right there would get rid of a lot of church fights. We're going to look at the body of Christ and we're going to discern it so we can receive the blessing that God intended for us to have in them. That perfect, sinless body of Jesus was beaten and bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities. And that body of Jesus took stripes. He took stripes on his back. In fact, our healing was paid for before our sins were. We have an easier time believing God for the biggest things than the smallest things. He thinks the healing is the smallest thing, the sins is the biggest thing. We believe God for the hardest part and doubt Him for the easiest part. Our healing has already been paid for. The same way our sins has already been paid for. Jesus shed blood out of His back. Also, Jesus' body was pierced. Every time Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood, and it was never by accident. And every time He shed blood, we got redemption in some area. It would be good for us to look back and find out these different places that Jesus shed His blood and find out what was redeemed, because every single time He shed blood, something was redeemed. But you're not going to participate in something you don't know about. Also, you look at this bread and it's slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. You know, not only did Jesus take all of our sins, He took all of our judgment. You don't have to sit at home worrying about what happened 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 years ago. Jesus took care of that. The minute you got born again, That got taken care of. So, Father, we're taken of the broken body of Christ and we're receiving our healing in Jesus' name. That blood of Jesus is so wonderfully pure and perfect that when we got born again, He washed us with His blood. And that washed away all of our sins. That remitted them. It took them away. They're gone. In fact, when Jesus said, "It is finished," He said, "The debt is paid in full." He actually overpaid our debt. Now, because of what Jesus did in His shed blood, we can stand in the presence of God as though nothing ever happened. That's what justified means. Justified, never sinned. But I know what you did 10 years ago. Then you need to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature has no past." This blood has put us in right standing with God. That means you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are now in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Not what we did, but Him. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. I got a curious little word of thought for you. You know, you ever notice, you never stop thinking, you never really stop thinking? Did you ever notice that? Always thinking about something. But every time you're thinking, you're actually listening. Think about that for just a second. Every time you think you're just thinking, you're actually listening. What kind of thoughts are going through your head that you're listening to? See, this is important. Are we listening to God's thoughts? Or are we listening to Satan's thoughts? Because see, Satan has access to your mind. The Bible tells us he shoots these fiery darts at us. Those are high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Those are the kind of thoughts that said, you know, I'm not going to have enough money to meet the bills at the end of the month. That's a high thing that exalts the knowledge of God. And God said, He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, when you think you're just thinking, you're actually listening. And here's an important thing, you know, that you're going to have to know, just so you don't get caught playing mental basketball with yourself. You're not going to beat a thought with a thought. That's positive thinking stuff. We need right believing stuff. The way we beat a thought is with the Word. Those thoughts, remember, Paul told us, casting down those imaginations, taking them captive in the name of Jesus and casting them down. So we're going to have to take God's Word in the name of Jesus and cast those thoughts down. You know, if a thought... thoughts will come, and some of them will insist on staying. But you have to continually bombard those with the Word of God in the name of Jesus and get rid of them. So next time you wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning breathing real hard and worried about whatever it is you're worried about, take that thought captive in the name of Jesus and say something that God says about that thought. Amen? Why did I say 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning all the time? Well, because that's when you get still. That's when you get quiet. And God talks to you. And also Satan will throw some of his biggest fear bombs at you. So you really are in a battlefield. You're in a battlefield for your mind. Joyce Myers wrote a book called Battlefield for the Mind. You should buy that book and read that book. You really do have a war going on. This is a battlefield. You really do have a war going on there. But you have to be actively involved in this battle using the Word of God, bringing down strongholds, bringing down imagination, bringing down those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But you got to use the Word of God, and you got to use the name of Jesus. Amen? All right. Matthew. Chapter 7, verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Did you notice that the winds came, and the rains fell, and the winds blew on both people? The people that built their house on the sand, and the people that built their house on the rock. You know how many Christians have run into in the past that were shocked that they actually ran into tribulation? Well, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, God, He gave us an open book test. We just got to open the book up and pass the test. One thing you need to know about Satan is Satan hates people. He really hates Christians. And he really, really hates obedient Christians. Why? Because you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You know, there's some kind of a false idea that people get. They think that if it's the will of God, it's going to be smooth, easy path, nice sailing, and everything's going to be really cool. Like you're just going to skip on through this ordeal in silk slippers, your little gown on, you don't have any friction, nothing. That's a lie. That's not going to happen. In fact, I say to you, if God sets you on a mission at some point and you don't have friction, you should stop and ask yourself, is this really something that God wants me to do? Because this really seems pretty easy. The devil himself came after Jesus himself. See, here's the thing you need to understand. You're a Christian. You're anointed. There is still an antichrist out there. There's an anti-anointing. He's going to do whatever he has to do to stop people from operating in the anointing. And here's what happens. Is people will get started. They'll take a step of faith. They'll get out there. And they'll hit that friction. They say, oh, this isn't God. And they'll give up. He gave you the anointing so that you could bulldoze your way through that friction. There's somebody on the other side of your tribulation that needs your help. And all too often, your blessing is on the other side of that tribulation. You've all heard this. Jesus come to us in our darkest hour. You know, we heard about the 11th hour. You know, the disciples were in the boat and the wind and the waves were beating on them. And they were out there. They were out there in the middle of the night. And Jesus went out there and saved the day. If you feel like you're at the end of the rope, then tie a knot in that puppy and hang on. Don't give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. As long as you have a breath of air in your body, you can speak the word of God and still win. Amen? Now, in verse 24, we discussed last Sunday that there's a therefore. Whenever you find a therefore in the Bible, go back a chapter or two and find out what that therefore is there for. You know, Jesus talked about people building their life upon a rock. Now we're going to talk about part of building our life upon that rock so that when the storms come, we can stand and survive it. Amen? Now we're going to look right now at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So the first thing Jesus said to do was seek the kingdom of God. We just sang that song. Love, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, we know. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because of what Jesus did with his shed blood, we are now in right standing with God. That means we're qualified to receive his blessings, not on any act of our own. We're in right standing. This is important to understand. We're talking about finances. A lot of people don't think they qualify for his finances. A lot of people think that there's certain things that they absolutely have to do to qualify for his financial blessing. You're in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Period. Now, let's look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You must know that if it does not point you to the cross, it's not the gospel. It's just not. If it doesn't lead you straight to Jesus Christ and him crucified, it is not the gospel. I don't care how famous the preacher is. I don't care what he's saying. If it does not lead straight to Jesus Christ and him crucified, stop it. Now we're talking about finances. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace, the undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor of God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. How about that? Finances are by grace. Isn't that cool? Well, the Bible tells us that God has freely given us all things with Christ. Here's the most important thing you're ever going to learn, is you're going to have to first learn how to receive so that you can learn how to give. And you've already received, you just don't realize it. If you have two pennies to rub together, you received something. Take one penny and give it to God, so he can have something to multiply back to you. You got to realize this. You don't have anything that God didn't give you. Amen. Now, I've worked my fingers to the bone. Well, you're an idiot for working that hard. And you're misconstrued for not receiving from God. It's good to work hard. But look, you have a job so that you can earn seed to sow. Amen. God has freely given us all things with Christ. He wants us to enjoy this world. The first thing you need to understand is God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Did you know that? I mean, we put our brands on them and our earmarks, but God owns them. Did you know he owns those hills too? And did you know that he owns the gold under those hills? Do you think God is broke? Then why are you writing checks out for $5 in the name of Jesus instead of $100,000? He gave you a blank check. Did you know that? He gave you a blank check. And in your your attempt to be humble, you said, I can just get enough to meet my needs, feed my family, pay the bills, I'll be all right. That's selfish. And it's stupid. It's selfish in the fact that you're only thinking about yourself. And it's foolish because you're not receiving the abundance of God that Jesus died on the cross to freely give you. God wants you to receive more than enough to meet your needs so that you can spill it over to your neighbor and the guy down the street and somebody in Africa and somebody in Australia and somebody somewhere else. You have more than enough to meet your needs, but somebody else's needs too. That's the cool thing about God. He wants you to have more than enough. Remember, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly. That's the God kind of life, the Zoe kind of life, the abundant life. That is too much life in you, so much in you that you got to give it away. That's the really neat thing about God's financial system. He's not going to come short at the end of the month. No matter how many people pull on him, he has more than enough. So we know that our needs have been met at the cross, and it's by his grace. Amen? Amen. Go back over here to Matthew 6, verse 34. Says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow, so take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's a couple different attitudes that you can choose from. Okay, God has given me some money. I've got $100. I owe $300. He gave me $100 and he wants me to give some away? Well, I already don't have enough. So if I don't have enough with 100, how am I going to have enough with 90? See, the widow woman, God sent prophet to a widow woman, and this prophet said, make me a cake and a little water. And she said, preacher, I just told you I was going to go make the last cake, me and my son, we was going to eat it, and then we was going to die. She was at the end of her resources. Did you get this? She was at the end of her resources. And God was telling her, plug into my resources. So she did that, and then she had more than enough to get through that whole drought. She had enough for her, she had enough for her son, and she had enough for the prophet. Praise God. I had a guy tell me the other day, pastors should not get paid. I said, really? Do you see how foolish people can be in their thinking? But God blesses us on the basis of our heart, not our thinking. Praise God. We can have some squirrely thoughts, but our heart be right, and we still get blessed. You know why I know that? Because there's people in all these different denominations that are getting blessed. And I know they've got squirrely thoughts. Some of them think they're the only ones going to heaven. But they still get blessed. Praise God. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. God does not want us to be worried about tomorrow. And he gave us the answer. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For it's the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Did you know that you can give your way out of poverty? You really can. Believe me, I know this to be a truth. You can give your way out of poverty. First thing you need to understand is that God gave to you first. He's always the first one to give. We're just returning. Amen? We're giving because we already received. Don't get that reversed. Now, there is a spiritual truth that happens when you receive from God and you give into His kingdom, more is going to come back to you. Jesus just said that. Give shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall God give into your bosom. Come on, somebody, call me on that. It didn't say God, it said shall men give into your bosom. Somebody should have shouted on that one. Now here's the thing, this is where you're going to have a pride check. He says men will give into your bosom. I mean, he's going to use other people to bless you. This is where people's pride gets in the way. They say, no, you keep that. No, don't do that. That's God gave that guy a specific idea to sow into somebody's life. And he's going to receive a blessing from that. Don't burn his seed up. Receive it in the name of Jesus and bless it back to him. One of the neatest things, me and my wife went to church, and there was this little lady that used to sit behind us, and her ankles would swell up so big that she'd have to wrap them with ace bandages, and she had a severely retarded daughter that she took to church every Saturday night, and we made it in our heart that every time we go shopping every 2 weeks. And when we went shopping, we get a little $50 gift card, so that we'd give that to her. And it wasn't much, but it was something that she could use. And anyway, I mean, she had a hard life. And anyway, one day she called me, and she said that she ran into some money, and that she wanted to be a part of this ministry. We were building this parsonage. She sent us like $5,000. Was it $3,500? It was a lot of money. And she sent that to us. And my heart about melted when she said that. I thought, my God, I know what this is to that woman. And the flesh part of me wanted to say, no, you keep that and take care of your daughter. But you can't do that. She was sowing her seed in faith. So we received it. And it wasn't just a few months later, she called me and she said she had a stroke. I said, oh my goodness, are you all right? Oh, I'm great. I said, what happened? She said, oh, I knew I was having a stroke, but all I could say was covenant. So she just kept saying covenant and covenant and covenant and covenant because she had a covenant with God. And then she went to the doctor, and the doctor come back in. He examined her and come back in there and said, you've had a major stroke. She said, I know. I said, but you're not supposed to be okay. She said, but I am. See what happens? You don't know how God is preparing people for different events. He prepared her for such an event. You know, we sowed into her for a long time, and then she sowed into us, and then God blessed her even more with health so she could take care of her daughter. Praise God. You don't know everything. But Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Did you know he's not going to just send somebody over with an airplane, drop money on you? And he will send somebody come in off the street and say, here. I've had that a lot of times. People just walk up to me and say, here. Some of them may give me they say, this may be for the church, this may be for this building, this may be for you. Amen? So you just receive it. Bless them back. Amen? Now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll get this thing wrapped up here. Always know this, it's always about Jesus. It's always about him. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. We're going to start there. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So, there you go. God will bless you back on the abundance of your giving. You know, if you use a teaspoon, he'll bless it back in teaspoons. If you use a scoop shovel, he'll bless it back in scoop shovels. Right there, he just gave you the design. Every man, now this is important. This goes out to the pulpiteers, not you guys, preachers that may be listening. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That means we're not going to pass a plate around here and pressure people into giving. We're not going to spend 30 minutes every service talking about money. We put a basket back there in the corner, and you go spend time with God, and you ask Him how much you want to give, where He wants you to give it, when He wants you to give it, and then you do that. Not what some preacher tells you. As he purposes in his heart. Not under pressure. There's a lot of con men floating around. They'll say things like, you're going to share in my anointing. You give into this ministry. Guess what, dude? I don't want your anointing. I got the Holy Ghost anointing. What would I want with the secondhand anointing? Be very careful. Stay in line with the Word of God. And if whatever you're hearing doesn't lead you to the cross of Christ, then don't follow that no more. Now, verse 8 said, God is able to make all grace, there's that word again, abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know, one thing about prosperity is not just money. You know, Jesus was the most prosperous man that ever walked the face of this earth. But he didn't run around giving people money all the time. It would be pretty cool to go fishing and find a gold coin in a fishing boat. That would be cool. That would be cool. But Jesus met whatever need that needed to be met. You know, if it was a health need, he met that. If it was deliverance, he met that. Whatever it was that the person needed at the time, that's what he met. Praise God.
You don't need to give money, anything.
Yeah. There's lots of ways to operate in the kingdom of God. There's lots of ways. It is important to support your local church. That is important. But I'm not going to hustle you for money. So, anyway, get down here to verse 9. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now, need to circle these next two verses. He that ministers seed to the sower, that's God. You're the sower. You are the sower. God ministers seed to the sower. He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister your seed, he supplies you the seed, and he multiplies your seed sown. He increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. You know how many people I ran into? You know, the gas stations are fun. You know, you run into somebody and they need, somebody needs help, and you got $20, $100, whatever it is God says to give. One of the most common things I've heard, when I put money in their hand, they say, "Thank God." Thank God. And then some of those people pray for you. Did you know there's Christians that end up on the streets? Life happens. The last thing they need the church to do is judge them. You know, sometimes we weave when we should have wobbled. You know, or just anything may have happened. Who knows? You know, you could have somebody that does the right things. You know, they've lived right. You know, they've worked. They had insurance. And they're going through life and everything's good. And all of a sudden there's maybe a catastrophic illness. They lose their job. Then they lose their insurance. They lose all their finances. And there they are. You know, there's a lot of people that are one bobble from being homeless. But they're working hard. And they're doing the right thing. You know, maybe they just are just making enough to survive. You know, they go to church. They're believers. And then all of a sudden something happens. Maybe the breadwinner doesn't come home. Maybe something happens. You know, all of a sudden their whole world is changed. And there they are. And God wants us to reach out to those too. You know that? But there's too many church members that sit there and say, "Well, if they'd have done this, or if it would have been me, this is what I'd have done." Oh, baloney, you don't know what you would have done until you've been in their shoes. Walk a mile in their shoes and then come back and tell me how you would do it if you was doing it. We're not to judge people. We're supposed to bless them. Amen? Now, not only supplies the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of the ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Right there, it's telling us we experiment. You know, we learn so much about the Bible by experimenting with the things that the Bible says to do. Actually, going out and putting it into action. See what happens if we do this. See what happens if we do that. We got to experiment with it. That's how we learn. God, He ministers seed to the sower. But He also ministers your bread too. So you don't have to worry about going hungry if you give something to somebody else. Praise God. He's going to take care of you. He just wants you to get active in His way of doing things. Well, Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus. We praise Your name for everything that Jesus did for us in His death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we thank You that the windows of heaven have been opened upon us, and that Your grace and mercy are renewed every single day, that You just poured out on us. Father, we ask You how to walk in this supernatural kingdom of Yours. Show us how to operate in this thing by faith. We thank You for Holy Spirit, who's always here to teach us and guide us. He shows us how to rightfully divide the word of truth, and we praise You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee back here.